Hare Krishna to all the devotees of Central New Jersey and the other devotees who have joined from different parts. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpataru bhayascha kripa sindhu vaivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrindaki jai. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate giram yat kripatamaham vande Shri Guru Dinatharanam Paramananda Madhavam Krishna Chaitanya Ishwaram Gurumayaj ki jai. So Hare Krishna devotees, so today is the third session of this ongoing series that we have been discussing, how to become a favorite devotee of Lord Krishna. So those of you who have joined today for the first time, we'll give a little recap on what we did in the previous two sessions before we start today's session. So we have been discussing 36 qualities of a devotee which Krishna wants to see in his favorite devotee from the 12th chapter Bhakti Yoga of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So in the last two episodes we discussed around 15 qualities from the verse number 13, 14 and 15, and today our discussion is directed to the verse number 16. So these verses that we are discussing can also be called as Bhaktashtakam. Just like we have Guruvashtakam, we have Sachishutashtakam, we have Sikshashtakam. This is Bhaktashtakam, because the qualities of the devotee are expressed or explained by Krishna in these eight verses from 13 to 20. So in the 13th, 14th and the 15th verse, we discuss how Krishna said that these are the qualities that he wants to see, or rather, if these qualities are present in a devotee, then that devotee is Krishna's favorite devotee. So the Krishna says, Adveshta sarva bhutana maitra karuna evacha nirmama nirahankara sama dukkha sukha shami. He says Adveshta, those who are Advesha, non-envious. Adveshta sarva bhutana maitra, those who are friendly. Karuna, compassionate. Evacha, nirmama, those who don't have a sense of proprietorship. Nirahankara, for no false ego. Nirahankara, sama, equal. Sukha, dukkha, in all the situations. Santushta, satatam yogi, who is santushta, satisfied. He is a yogi who is yunjan, yukta, always connected to Krishna, who is shami, who forgives others. So he says santushta satatam yogi yatatmam dridanishchaya, who has firm conviction, firm determination. And then Krishna says that loka no dvijate jayaha, those who don't disturb others and those who are not disturbed by others. Harsha, marsha, bhayo dvega. There's no harsha, there's no bhaya, dvega, there's no anxiety, there's no fear. They don't rejoice, they don't grieve. So these qualities, if somebody has, then yomad bhakta Sami Priyaha. So that devotee I like very much, is what Krishna says. So coming to today's verse number 16.
Anapeksha suche daksha udasino gata vyatha sarvarambha parityagi yomad bhakta Sami Priyaha.
So Krishna says here, anapeksha suchir daksha. He says, I like a devotee who is anapeksha. So what does it mean by anapeksha? Upeksha means expectation. Anapeksha means one who has no expectation. So what does that mean, one who has no expectation? Basically means one who has no desire, right? So now somebody may think, my God, that's too high. How can somebody have no desire? Okay, we may not have materialistic desire, but we may have spiritual desire. So basically anapeksha means it's not that devotees don't have any desire, but they have high desires, big desires. They don't have small desires. That means they don't have desires connected to this world. They don't have materialistic desires. They have spiritual desires. Or rather we can say, they don't desire anything from Krishna. They want Krishna. You understand? They don't want anything from Krishna. They want whole of Krishna. That is their desire. So that is why they are anapeksha. No expectation from this world. They want something high. They want Krishna only. So they have big desire, not small desires. Like Srila Prabhupada used to always say, why do you want to become God? I can make you greater than God. So somebody asked, how can you become greater than God? So Prabhupada says, if you become devotee of Krishna, you definitely become greater than Krishna. And how is that? Because Krishna himself says, aham bhakta paradhino. Right? If you see the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, see chapter 4, there's this verse number 63, where Krishna is openly saying, aham bhakta paradhino. He asvatantra ivadvija sadhubhir grasta hridayo bhaktir bhakta jana priyaha. That's it. He says, aham bhakta paradhino. I am controlled by my devotee. And you just read the English translation of that verse. So Krishna says, why I am controlled by my devotee? Because he has no material desires. So he's saying that clearly, that he has no material desires. And he says, not only am I controlled by my devotee, but bhaktir bhakta jana priya, my devotee's devotee also, I come into under their control. Sadhubhir grasta hridayo. Right? So anapeksha means a devotee has no material desire. Rather, he has desire, but higher desire. Or we can put it this way. He has only that desire, or he has a desire to fulfill Krishna's desire. That is what is the desire he has. He has a desire to fulfill Krishna's desire. See, that is why you see Prabhupada taught us that whenever you ask something to Krishna, make sure that you add these words, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire. If you so desire, then do this for me or bless me. Or, you know, so we always add these three words. If you so desire, if you so desire, right? So this is the process of becoming a devotee who is anapeksha, where you desire, your every desire is to fulfill Krishna's desire, right? The other way of understanding this quality of anapeksha is, a devotee may have expectation, but he has the right expectation. That means what to expect from whom is what is his expectation. That means, to give you a clear example, let's say I'm wearing a shawl. So what should be my expectation from the shawl? My expectation should be that the shawl should give me warmth. Warmth. It is cold. The shawl will give me warmth. But if I start expecting the shawl will give me oranges and lemons and mangoes, then that is crazy. But if you see in this material world, this is what we are doing. We are having wrong expectation, right? But a devotee has right expectation, right? He knows that Srila Prabhupada can show me the way to come out of this cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. But Prabhupada can't give me Mercedes. Shawl can't give me oranges. Money can buy me things, but it can't give me happiness. So like that, a devotee is very clear from whom to expect what, right? So then a devotee is very clear that this human body is not meant for my happiness. It is given to me so that I can use it for Krishna's service, right? So he has a clear picture and he has a right expectation, right? I remember this one pastime of how one devotee, not devotee actually, Srila Prabhupada was giving a class somewhere in the US, and somebody on the random got up and he's asking that, you know everything. And Prabhupada says, yeah. So he said, can you tell how many windows are there in the White House? So Prabhupada said, why don't you go and count them? Instead of asking me, why don't you go and count them? I can tell you better things, you know, how to go back to Krishna. So regarding the windows in the White House, just go and count them. Why do you have to ask me? Right? So a devotee has a right expectation. He knows he can't get permanent happiness here. He knows he has this temporary body. So devotee has the right expectation. Or the other way of putting it is, the devotee doesn't have false expectation. False expectation. He knows what to expect from where. Like in a village in India, in a remote village, there was a very nice big mango tree with lots of ripe mangoes. And that was near the bank of a river. And the reflection of those mango trees and the fruits were falling on the river. And all the villagers started jumping inside the river because they thought they can get mangoes from the river. And it went on for generations. Because the father to son and son to his son kept saying, oh, I couldn't get it. I tried, but maybe I didn't try the right way. Maybe if you could just try the right way, you will get the mangoes. Until a wise man came to that village and told them, there's no mangoes in the water. See, the mangoes are here, right here. You know, just climb the tree and you will get them. So anapeksha basically means a favorite devotee of the Lord has the right expectation. He doesn't have false expectation. And his only desire is to please Krishna or fulfill Krishna's desire. But he doesn't have any expectations, right? So basically anapeksha will also mean to be satisfied in one way. If you have no expectations, that means you are satisfied. So this is one quality, anapeksha. So this sloka says, anapeksha suchir daksha. See, we understand this quality, but how do we develop this quality of anapeksha? I also want to have anapeksha, no expectation. But as of now, we all have expectation. So how will we gain that? How will we gain that quality? By spiritual education. By spiritual education. When we start reading scriptures, when we read scriptures, then we understand what to expect, when to expect, from whom to expect. What is this world all about? So spiritual education, we can develop this quality of anapeksha. The next quality is suchi. Suchi means pure. Suchi means clean. So in the purport for this sloka, Srila Prabhupada says, our devotees are suchi. Because they take bath 3 times in a day. So they are clean inside and they are also clean outside. Right? So Krishna says that his favorite devotee is suchi. He's clean. So that means, as Prabhupada said, not only is the devotee clean physically because he takes bath, he maintains all the rules of cleanliness, but he's also suchi, pure from inside. Why? Because he has... he has given space to Krishna in his heart. So even his heart is clean, right? So there is not only Krishna in his altar, in his home, in his room, in his ears, via the holy name, Krishna is also in his heart. So a devotee is clean inside and outside. A devotee has to be, actually, if somebody is a devotee, then these are the qualities we can expect in them. But if somebody is a 500 rupees devotee, then we can't do anything about it. What is a 500 rupees devotee? This is the popular term that I keep quoting in all my classes, 500 rupees devotee. You have 500 rupees note, you go to Louis Bazaar, you can look like a devotee. You buy a 300 rupees dhoti, buy 100 rupee kurta, and some 100 rupees odd for a tilak and kanti, and carry a mala bag, and the whole world will think you are a devotee. But we are not talking about 500 rupees devotee. We are talking about devotee. So a devotee means he's suchi. He's clean from inside and outside. There's this very beautiful pastime of Kanakadas. I don't know if I've shared this pastime in this forum. Kanakadas was a disciple of Vyasaraj, and he was one of his favorite disciples. So everybody was quite jealous about him. Why does Guruji like him so much? So Vyasaraj understands that, you know, what is going on in everybody's heart. So one day he gives a job. He gives some old brass pots and calls all his disciples, go and clean them. I have to do some rituals, some abhishekam for the Lord. So go and clean them and you have 10 minutes, you know. You have to come back before, you know, finishing this time. So they all run to the riverside and they're cleaning and they're cleaning. And by 10 minutes, everybody's done and they all come back and put the pots. So everybody's pot is like glittering and so beautiful looking because they work so hard. But Kanakadas' pot is not looking so good. But when the guru examines all the pots, he says, oh, Kanakadas' pot is the best. And disciples are like, we can see this. His pot is not so, you know, bright looking. And then Vyasaraj shows inside of the pot, because while the other disciples were while the other disciples were working on the outside of the pot, Kanakadas had his whole 10 minutes working on the inside of the pot. So his logic was, you're going to do Abhishek of the Lord. So if the inside is clean, you know, whatever you use, milk and curd for Abhishek, it'll be so nice. What's the point of outside? So he tried his best to clean the inside. So that is why Vyasaraj says he's my best disciple, because he cleaned inside. So sometimes we apparently may look very nice devotees, but if we are not clean inside, the world may look at our outside, but Krishna looks our inside, right? Just like I keep telling that the doctor knows what's going on with your heart, but Krishna knows what's going on inside your heart. That nobody knows, but Krishna knows what's going on inside our heart. So a devotee is clean inside and outside. Now, a question may arise, but it's not in my hand. I just got some bad thought, or let's say I was not in a proper frame of my mind, or let's say I got some, you know, something in my heart which may not be. So what should I do at this moment? I may not be pure. So what's the solution? So the whole point is, there may be so many bad thoughts coming. The whole point is, don't allow it to stay for a long time. Otherwise, they make a stain. They make a stain, you know. Just like, you know, when you are eating something, and let's say you have your brand new sari, and you're just taking some coconut water, and it spills on you. The first thing you'll do is, you, even if you are in a party, you'll make sure to go somewhere and clean it, because you know certain stains are so hard. You know, the pomegranate, coconut, tea, coffee, all these stains are so hard. If they fall on your, or it's difficult to get, you have to do it immediately, that moment. If you allow it to stay for 5-10 minutes, you can't clean them. This is what we need to do with our thoughts. We may not be able to stop the thoughts. We are not on the pure devotee level. But when they come, make sure they don't stay for long. Allow them to pass quickly and fill it up with more thoughts of Krishna. That's the only way, right? It's something like the nail and sellotape effect, you know. In the 2009, when we opened our guest house for the first time at ISKCON Vizag. So we had this seminar hall, and we used to rent it out, you know, for name-giving ceremonies and birthday parties. The first thing I made, you know, the rules and regulation, the first thing I said that whoever takes it on rent, they had to sign it. You know, these are the things they won't do. So I got it, I made a format. So the first rule written is, you can't use nails. You can use sellotape. See, birthday party means they'll put balloons and some charts and some ribbons. So we said, you can put sellotape, but you can't put nail. Why? Because you put sellotape, that's all right. After some time, when the party is over, we'll just remove it. There may be some stain. You see, we have used plastic emulsion color, you can just remove the stain. But if they put a nail, then that makes a hole and you can't do anything about it. So many such events may happen in our life, which may not be Krishna conscious. So many thoughts may come in our mind, which may not be Krishna conscious, but at least we should remember the nail and the sellotape effect. Make sure they don't make a hole. They just have a sellotape effect on you. Just pass through the event quickly and then quickly fill up your consciousness back with Krishna. Instead of sitting and pondering over, why did this thought come in my mind? Forget about it. You just crush it. Just crush the thought with so many other nice and sweet and positive and Krishna conscious thoughts, right? So that way, one can become suchi. One can become clean. The whole point is, don't allow the dead rat to be there in your house for a long time. Otherwise, it will smell. The moment you see a dead rat, take it and throw it in the bin. But what we do is we keep it. Oh, I'll take care of it after some time. And that after some time, what happens? It becomes more smelly. And then sometimes it so happens that we don't even realize. Other people can see the smell, right? See, whenever somebody having anarthas, ego, anger, enviousness, lust, most of the time it's very difficult for a person to see one's own fault. But the other people who are around us can smell it, right? Sometimes when our mouth smells, we can't understand mouth is smelling, but the other people around us can smell. Just yesterday I was mentioning in a class that how to see one's own fault is like, you know, on a Amavasya night, when it's Amavasya, the no moon day, if you are watching a black ant walk over a black stone in the middle of the night, no moon night, it will be so difficult for you to see that ant. So similarly, seeing one's own fault is something like that. It is so difficult to see one's own fault. One will always think I'm perfect and I'm fine. It's only somebody else who can help us with our fault. So don't allow the thoughts to stay so long that, you know, they become smelly. They become smelly. The other, now, okay, I want to be suchi. I want to be Krishna's favorite devotee. I want to get this quality in me. So what do I do? So one practical way to become pure is to let somebody in the world know what you actually are. Because sometimes we keep wearing masks to prove to the world that we are good devotees, and sometimes even prove to our guru or family members. But there should be somebody in our life who really knows who we are inside out. That will be so helpful. So if we have some mentor in our life whom we can confess, okay, this is my situation. This is like, I don't know if I've told you this story of a man who was a hunter, and he ended up, you know, entering an area, a wildlife reserve, a sanctuary where he was not supposed to hunt. It was full of some endangered species. So he just goes inside illegally and he hunts a fox. And then so happens, after some time he hears a noise. There's a forest officer coming with his jeep. And now the hunter is like, I'm caught. What should I do? So immediately what the hunter does is he's been wearing a big black coat. So he just picks up that baby fox and puts it inside his coat, you know, and closes his coat. And the moment the forest officer comes, the hunter poses very innocent. So he says, how come you are here? What are you doing? Oh no, I just like nature. I'm just walking around. Oh, things are so beautiful. So they both have a conversation for some time. And after that, the forest officer leaves. And the moment the forest officer leaves, this hunter dies. How he dies? Because he had put this half-dead fox inside his coat. And this fox was eating up his flesh from behind. And he couldn't do anything because he was talking to the forest officer and he had to save himself. But ultimately what happened? The fox ate so much of his flesh that he died. This is what happens with all of us. These fox-like anarthas are eating us up from the inside. But outside we're making a big show. I'm a happy devotee and I'm a nice devotee and I'm okay in Krishna consciousness. But like termites, they are already inside our life and they are eating us up. And one fine day, all this show that you are making will crumble, right? So that means one should be very careful. As soon as one sees a little, you know, issue, share it. Share it with somebody whom you trust. So as I put it, somebody in this whole big world should know who you are inside, how you are, what do you think, on what level you are. So that way we are safe. At least somebody knows and they'll help us out. Right? A devotee of the Lord is pure inside and outside. So here Krishna talks about two qualities, anapeksha and suchi. Next quality we'll go into says daksha. anapeksha suchir daksha. What does it mean by daksha? Daksha means expert. Daksha means expert. So Krishna says that his favorite devotees are daksha. They are expert. They are competent. Now when we hear this, we are like, forget it, then I can never become Krishna's favorite devotee because I'm not expert. No, expert in what? Expert and alert in fighting Maya. Expert and alert in fighting Maya. Competent in fighting Maya. That means Krishna likes that kind of a devotee who doesn't allow himself to be cheated by Maya under provocating situations. Under provocating situations. He's always alert. He's always conscious of Krishna. Right? Like, you know, there was this one man who had a very nice farm next to the ocean. But the problem was, every time there are storms in the ocean, whole his farm goes haywire. So nobody wanted to work for him. He was trying to get some laborers to work for him, but they are like, oh, we don't want to work for you. Finally, he managed to get somebody. But that man said, all right, I'll work in your farm, but I won't work on the day there is a storm. So this man says, that's all right. At least you'll work for the rest of the days. I'm okay with you. Let's start work tomorrow. So things were going very well. After a couple of months, there was a storm one day. Now the owner of the farm, he gets up in the middle of the night. Oh, it's raining and thundering and storm. And he runs to the servant quarter. He wakes up the man. Hey, get up, get up. It's raining. It's a storm. We need to, you know, make things look here and there. So that man doesn't open the door. He simply says, well, I think you forgot my contract. I said I won't work on the day there is storm. Now this owner gets all upset. What crazy man. I have to do it everything by myself now. So he runs to the barn. He runs to the place where the stable, where the horses are kept. And to his surprise, the horses are so nicely tied. There was nothing to be done. Then he goes to the grain storeroom. And to his surprise, the grains have been put in such a way that even if there is storm, rain, nothing is going to happen. So like that, he checks every aspect of his farmhouse and he sees everything has been done in such a way that even if there is a storm, nothing needs to be done. So this owner also goes and sleeps. Now he understands why did this worker said, I won't work on the day there is storm, because he already worked the rest of the day so perfectly that when there is a storm, there is nothing to worry. So that is what a devotee does. He's been so serious in his bhajan, he's so serious in his Krishna consciousness that when provocating situations do arrive in his life, he's well prepared. Just like you see those army and navy officers, they're almost doing exercises with those pistols and rifles every single day, even though there is no war. Why? Preparing themselves for the war, if at all, if there is any war. That's what the devotee is doing. They are doing with their rifles and guns, we're doing with our mala bag, chanting Hare Krishna. We're also in an army, Krishna's army, and these are our guns. We just practice chanting so nicely when the situation is nice, that when the situations are adverse, they're not to our convenience or not in our comfort zone, still we'll be able to continue because we have practiced it, right? So daksha, a devotee is expert. He will not get cheated by Maya. He's alert all the time. Right? There was this one devotee who used to chant regularly 16 rounds, very nicely. So Lakshmi Devi wanted to put a test to him. So then Lakshmi Devi appears to him in the middle of the night. He said, you are chanting so nicely. I'm so happy with you. Why don't you ask me something? So this devotee is like, I haven't thought about it. What should I ask you? So Lakshmi Devi says, no hurry. I'll come back tomorrow. Think nicely what you want and you can ask. He said, all right. So next day morning, as soon as he got up, he started making a list. What should I ask? Maybe I'll ask this, maybe I'll ask this. Then he remembered, hey, today my chanting is not done. Afterwards, I'll do chanting. So what should I ask? So he made a list. Then by evening, he said, "Arey, Bapre, my even one round is not chanted. But what can be done? Later on, I'll chant. So what should I ask?" And he kept on making lists. By the middle of the night, Lakshmi Devi arrived. She said, yeah, so are you done with your list? What can I give you? And he said, nothing. I just request you don't come back. Even before you entered my life, I stopped chanting. My mala bag is, you know, hanging there. And I've been busy making list what I want from you. Imagine if you actually come into my life, what will happen? So the only thing I want is stay away. Let me chant, right? So devotee is very alert. Very alert. He doesn't want to get cheated by anybody. He doesn't want to get disturbed in his connection with Krishna. So a devotee is daksha. He knows how to tolerate his inner impulse and the outer stimuli. Is it not? What are we struggling with every day? There is some kind of an inner impulse. What is driving us, or rather, what is pulling us? Lust, greed, anger, right? All these things are pulling us all the time. So what does a devotee do? Daksha means he controls his inner impulse and also outer stimuli. Even if there is nothing happening in the heart, there are so many outer stimuli in our day-to-day life that we face, is it not? As a devotee, or there are bars open and there are restaurants open and there are movie theaters and there are shopping malls and there are all kinds of things calling, right? But a devotee tolerates his inner impulse. A devotee tolerates the outer stimuli, right? So Krishna says, my favorite devotee is a daksha. So he's anapeksha suchir daksha. Now we go to the fourth quality. Krishna says, my devotee is udasina. Udasina means he is uninvolved. Udasina means he is free from care. So what does that mean? Udasin. That means free from anxiety, free from care. He's uninvolved. Why is he uninvolved with this world? Because he's already involved in a divine affair with Krishna. You understand? Let me give you one karmi example. Many years ago, you know, when we were traveling from Vishakhapatnam to Mayapur, Calcutta, we were in the train. And there was one newly married, you know, husband and wife. So now the train journey almost halfway went very smooth, but in between there was some technical glitch and the train stopped, and even there was no current, and for a couple of hours, you know, it was stranded there. And all of us devotees, Vishakhapatnam Yatra, we were all like frustrated, just walking up and down, because I think we were going for His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj's Vyasa Puja, and we were like, if it's going to be late, we will miss the Adivas Saromani, and we were like, you know, going up and down. And I tell you, in the middle of all this chaos, this newly married couple, they were so happy, just looking at each other, talking. He brought something, she brought something, both are eating from the same plate and talking and laughing and smiling. And I tell you, there was no air in the compartment because there were no lights. So some of the men congregation devotees even got down and coming up, and we are just going like this with the newspaper. But they were not doing nothing with the newspaper. They're so happy. Even they're sweating. They're just looking at each other. Now what's happening is they're so happy with their own affair that nothing outside is making any noise in their inside, right? So devotee, pure devotee of the Lord is like that. He's so involved in the divine affair with Krishna that nothing outside is making any noise in his inside. He's so happy. He's in his own world. He's in his own world. So devotee is peaceful. Peaceful. Udasina. Uninvolved. So now, by making this statement, am I trying to say that devotee will not do any work outside? Whatever happens in his office and job, and let everything happen. I'm in divine affair with the Lord. So Mataji also said, if I want to become favorite devotee of the Lord, I'm having a divine affair with Krishna. So somebody comes to your, you know, in your cabin and, Prabhuji, where is the PPT? Don't ask me. I'm in divine affair with the Lord. Mataji said, udasina, uninvolved, out of care and anxiety. I don't care what happened to the PPT, what happened to today's meeting. No, a devotee is disinterested, but he's not uninterested. These are two different things, being disinterested and being uninterested. Okay, just like in the cricket, you have somebody called umpire. Now, when the umpire is judging the game, sometimes the players will make appeal. 4-4-4, 6-6-6, out, out, out. They'll make it with so much emotion. But no matter how much passion, how much emotion they show, the umpire is disinterested. Even if you make so many emotions jump up and down, he's disinterested. But he's not uninterested. Yeah, he will listen to your appeal and he will analyze. Okay, let me check if it is actually out or not. Your shouting is not going to make it out. Your shouting or screaming, I'll not give out. If it's actually out, I'll give out. So he's disinterested. That means he's impartial, but he's not uninterested. Same thing with the devotee, the favorite devotee of the Lord. He's impartial to situations. That means as an umpire, yeah, he listens. Okay, what has to be done? So what has to be done has to be done. He won't make a big issue about it. You understand? That is Udasina. He won't get too much worked up about it. Oh, really, this happened? No, that happened. You understand? Let me give an example. Let's say if somebody comes and says, Prabhu, you know, that devotee, he spoke like this about you. Oh, really? He spoke like that about me? I will show him who I am, what he thinks I am, you know, what I did so much for him. This is called, you know, you're disturbed. No, a devotee is impartial. Okay, so he said that. All right, so I'll clarify with him. All right, so if it needs to be done, okay, I'll work on this. I'll work out on this. So this is how devotee will, you know, respond to every situation. So he's Udasina. He's impartial. He's uninvolved. That means he is uninvolved with what? He doesn't involve himself with the lower modes of material nature. That means he don't involve himself with anger, greed, lust and all. He doesn't involve himself with that. That is what is meant by Udasina. Udasina. And why is he able to do it? Because he has important things to do. Yeah, like yesterday, I was giving a class for devotees of Tampa. That asked me to speak on the topic of how do you make your 2021 more Krishna conscious. So I gave them various acronyms, you know, IQ, EQ, AQ, GQ, how do you increase your quotients. So there was one topic that we were discussing amidst all these quotients is, you know, about how sometimes some devotees are critical about you. So how do you manage? Or sometimes you see fault of other devotees. So how do you manage? So I was giving them a simple tip. I was telling them that just like, you know, if there is a marriage in your house, you don't sit on a easy chair and read a newspaper or a magazine, even though you may be tempted, even though it may be important, because now something more important is happening in your life. Your daughter is getting married, there are hundreds of things to do. So even if you want to do it, you will postpone it. So I was telling them, similarly, when you see the faults of devotees, when you see, you know, oh, this devotee is doing that, this devotee is doing that, just postpone it. So I was just giving them that example that all this, all along, so many lifetimes that we have taken birth, our soul has changed from one body to another. We've been doing this, of seeing everybody's fault and fault finding and criticizing. We've been doing it. And if we are really, and if you're really interested to do it, we'll do it later on when we go back to Krishna. In between this interim period, let us control this impulse of fault finding for some time. So that devotee was saying, how will we do that? I said, don't worry. Whenever you see a fault in a devotee, you think in your mind, okay, this devotee has this problem. So when I go back to Goloka, I'll sit on an easy chair with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, sipping pure cow milk and telling him, Krishna, you know, this devotee had so much problem in our community. He disturbed this person. He disturbed everybody in our community. Chat with Krishna. But for now, we are in hurry. We want to go back to Krishna. So let's stop seeing everybody's fault and trying to correct people around us. We are in hurry. Let's work on our faults and let's go back. That's it. So we did it. And if you want, we'll do it. We'll continue it in Goloka. But this between, in this in-between time, let's postpone it and now seriously work on our lives and our faults, try to rectify them and go back home, back to Krishna. So devotee is Udasina. He's uninvolved. He's not interested in anybody's life and anybody's affair. His only interest is his relationship with Krishna and what to do about it and anything that is helping him in making that bond strong or that journey, he's only interested in that too much. He limits his scope of interaction. Okay, that much. This is my area, which is important for me. Over and beyond this, I don't want to do anything, because it has nothing to do with my journey of Krishna consciousness. Next quality is Gatavyatha. Gatavyatha means Krishna's favorite devotee is free from all distress and anxiety. Well, it's a natural consequence, I guess. If somebody is anapeksha, no expectations, suchi, clean, daksha, then definitely he'll be gatavyatha. There will be no anxiety because he's expert, right? He's daksha. So he's not going to keep his 10 rounds spending up to 10:30 in the night. So where is the anxiety? He does everything in proper way. He's disciplined. Then there is no anxiety. So the devotee of Krishna is gatavyatha, free from all distress and anxiety. And how is he able to get this quality of being free from anxiety and distress? Is because he knows who is in the driving seat. He knows Krishna is in the driving seat. He knows Krishna is the chariot driver, the car driver, the driver of my life. So he's not worried. He's not worried. He, even if he sees that things in his life are out of his control, he knows that these are out of my control, but they are not out of Krishna's control. Everything is under Krishna's control, and he has full faith, right? See, in India, if any of you are from Indian background, you will know this. In India, on Sundays, family vacations and family picnics, you know, they'll stuff the car with so many people. You know, there'll be three people in the back seat of the car, and now on the top of the three people, there'll be another four people sitting. And in the front also, next to the driver, there'll be two, three people sitting, and it's so much fun. But in the driver's seat, there is only one person sitting. No matter how many people you stuff in the car, nobody sits in the lap of the driver. The driver is only one person. So similarly, in our life also, driver is only Krishna. He drives our life. And a devotee has that faith that Krishna is driving my life. And that is why devotee of Krishna is gatavyatha. He's not having any fear, because he knows Krishna is my driver. Right? Like this one newly married couple. They were once traveling in a boat, small boat. They had to go on the other side of the river. Somebody had invited them for lunch. You know, in India is a custom. Newly married couple, they'll get hundreds of invitations for dinner and lunch. So they had to cross the river. So they were in the boat. And suddenly it started raining. And there was thunder and storm. And the waves were so, you know, erratic. And they were in big trouble. The boat was shaking and moving. But the husband was so calm and peaceful. So the wife said, "How come nothing is happening? You're so calm and peaceful." So immediately the husband, he takes out a knife from his pocket and puts it next to his wife, you know, next to her throat. And the husband asks, "So, are you not afraid? I've put a knife next to your throat." And the wife, very sheepish, you know, the sheepish smile, she says, "No, I'm not afraid, because I know you're not going to kill me. You love me. You're my well-wisher. So I'm not afraid. Even if you keep knife next to my neck, I'm not afraid." So then immediately the husband replies, "Just like that, I know Krishna is my well-wisher and I'm not afraid. No matter what happens with this boat, I know Krishna is my well-wisher." So that is why those who are Krishna's favorite devotees, they are gatavyatha, free from all anxiety and distress. Because they know that Krishna is their well-wisher and Krishna will take care of them. There's this very beautiful song in Telugu language sung by Bhakta Ram Das from Bhadrachalam. One of my favorite songs. I don't know how many of you are Telugu in this forum, but I'll explain it to you. So he sings this very beautiful bhajan. He says, "Chintaku chotu ledu na hridayam lo cheri Srimanarayana dayana kundaga. Chintaku chotu ledu na hridayam lo nadi samudramule vaina
భయమునాకు ఏలనో, మత్స్యమూర్తి అండ నాకు దిండిగా ఉండగా, మత్స్యమూర్తి అండ నాకు దిండిగా ఉండగా, చింతకు చోటు లేదు నా హృదయంలో, చేరి శ్రీమనారాయణ దయా నాకు ఉండగా.
ఇట్స్ ఎ వెరీ వెరీ లాంగ్ భజన్, ఐ కాంట్ సింగ్ ది హోల్ థింగ్, బట్ హీ సెయింగ్ చింతకు చోటు లేదు, దేర్ ఇస్ నో ప్లేస్, దేర్ ఇస్ నో ప్లేస్ ఫర్ ఎంజైటీ ఇన్ మై హార్ట్. వై? బికాస్ ఐఎమ్ బీన్ ప్రొటెక్టెడ్ బై లార్డ్ నారాయణ్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్. అండ్ దెన్ ద డివోటీ గోస్ ఆన్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్, నది సముద్రములేవైనా, ఓ ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ దెర్ ఆర్ డీప్ డీప్ వాటర్స్, ఐఎమ్ నాట్ అఫ్రేడ్ బికాస్ మత్స్యమూర్తి విల్ హెల్ప్ మీ అవుట్ ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ ఐఎమ్ డ్రౌండ్ ఇన్ ది వాటర్. ఓ ఇఫ్ దెర్ ఆర్ ఎర్త్ క్వేక్స్, ఐఎమ్ నాట్ అఫ్రేడ్, వరాహమూర్తి విల్ హెల్ప్ మీ. ఓ ఇఫ్ దెర్ ఆర్ డీమన్స్, ఐఎమ్ నాట్ అఫ్రేడ్, నరసింహదేవ్ విల్ హెల్ప్ మీ. అండ్ దెన్ హీ గోస్ ఆన్ అండ్ ఆన్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ ఆల్ ది డిఫరెంట్ ఇన్కార్నేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్. సో దాట్స్ ఎ భావ ఆఫ్ ఎ డివోటీ. Why chinta? Why anxiety when Krishna is my chariot driver? Krishna is the controller of my life. So a devotee is gata vyatha. Next quality. Sarvarambha parityagi. Sarvarambha parityagi means, actually the literal translation is, he will not do anything. He will not start any work. Now we may think, what is this condition of Krishna? If I want to become Krishna's favorite devotee, I'm not supposed to start any work or what? No, basically what it means by sarva arambha parityagi is, he doesn't take credit for anything. Rather, he gives credit to Krishna for everything. Or you can say, he is the one who doesn't have the doership mentality, karta bhav. He doesn't think I am the karta. He thinks I am simply an instrument in the hands of Lord. He doesn't have any doership feeling. So this is what it means by sarva arambha parityagi. That means for his own self, he may not make an endeavor. But for Krishna, he'll make 200% endeavor. For Krishna, what it says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says, Krishna artha akhil cheshta. For Krishna, a devotee will do akhil cheshta, right? So sarva arambha parityagi means, like you see in this sloka, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that a devotee may not work hard to build palatial house for himself, but he will do all the hard work to make a big temple, gorgeous temple for Krishna. So yes, it's not that sarva arambha parityaga means he won't start anything, but he won't do anything for his own gratification. He'll do it for pleasing Krishna. Krishna arthe akhil cheshta. For Krishna, he will do 200%. So this is what it means by sarva arambha parityagi. We'll now go to the next verse, text 17.
Yo na harshati na dveshati na sochati na kangshati shubha shubha parityagi bhakti ma ye sacha me priyaha bhakti man ye sa me priyaha.
So in the next verse, Krishna says, Yo na harshati na dveshati. Well, why does somebody feel harsha or dvesha? Why does somebody rejoice, or why does somebody feel, grieve about something? It'll happen only if you have a desire. But in the beginning, Krishna says, anapeksha. So already devotee has no desire. If he has no desire, there'll be no harsha, there is no dvesha. How harsha arises? If you have a desire, and your desire gets fulfilled, you become happy. You have a desire. Desire does not get fulfilled, you become unhappy. So this happiness or unhappiness is coming depending upon fulfillment or non-fulfillment of your desire. But devotee has no desire. His only desire is to please Krishna. So there is no harsha and there is no dvesha. So no harsha, no dvesha. Na sochati, na kangshati. No lamentation. Why no sochati, no kangshati? Because he thinks everything belongs to Krishna. So suppose if he gets anything, this is not mine, this is Krishna, it is Krishna's, it's under my care. Suppose he loses anything, this was not mine, it was Krishna's, he took it.
He gains anything? Not mine, it's Krishna's. So no rejoice. Loses anything? No grievance. It was Krishna's, he took it back. So no lamentation of the past. Whatever was there, it belonged to Krishna. Whatever I have, it is Krishna's. Whatever I'll get in future, it is Krishna's. Krishna wants to keep it, he'll keep it. He wants to take it away, he'll take it. It's not mine. The whole point, the whole mentality will be like a bank manager. The manager of the bank, there are so many deposits of crores of rupees and there are so many withdrawal. The manager doesn't rejoice on deposit because he knows it's not his money. And he doesn't start crying when somebody withdraws because he knows it's not his money. The transactions are going via his bank, but nothing belongs to him. That's what the devotee has, the mentality. So no harsha, no dvesha. Whatever is happening in my life, whatever I'm getting, losing, nothing belongs to me. Everything belongs to Krishna. As of now, under my care. As of now, this house belongs to Krishna. As of now, under my care. My wife and children are parts and parcel of Krishna. As of now, under my care. So whatever Krishna wants to do. Right? So no, na harshati, na dveshati. Na sochati, na khangshati. Shubha, shubha, parityagi. Shubha, ashubha, parityagi. So what does that mean? Gives up auspicious and inauspicious both. Now somebody may say, why? Why should somebody give up auspicious and inauspicious? What it means is, for us, for a devotee who wants to be Krishna's favorite devotee, all these things are not so important as much as it's important to make Krishna happy. And to make Krishna happy, they're ready to give up anything. Even if something is auspicious, they're ready to give it up. Like, for example, in the lives of gopis, what did the gopis do? When they heard that Krishna got headache, then they were ready to give the dust from their feet just to make Krishna happy. So weren't they doing something inauspicious? You give the dust of your feet to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you'll suffer in the hell. They're okay. They're ready to do anything inauspicious also. Like we see in the case of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj was doing that fire sacrifice and Indra was stealing his horses, and finally Brahma comes and says, okay, forget it, don't do the, don't have to complete your yajna. Now that's inauspicious. You stop the yajna halfway. But Prithu Maharaj did it. Why? Because that's making Krishna happy. Krishna is happy. Even if he couldn't complete his yajna, Krishna became so happy. He came to see Prithu Maharaj. He blessed Prithu Maharaj. So, shubha ashubha parityagi. A devotee is ready to give up everything for Krishna's satisfaction. For Krishna's satisfaction. So here, yo na harshati na dveshati na sochati na kangshati. He does his duties, everything, but he doesn't rejoice or grieve. Like you see the station master. The station master has the duty of waving the flags, red flag, green flag, the train will stop or the train will go, the train will move, sometimes the train comes late. But station master is not affected by it. Oh, why the train came late? He doesn't cry over it. He just does his duty. Just sees how things are going, coming and passing. Just like the train passes away. Our life keeps going. Events in our life keep passing. But a devotee is unaffected. Unaffected. There is no complaint. There is no complaint. If we want to be the favorite devotee of the Lord, then we don't complain. Whatever situation comes in our life, there's something called acceptance. We just accept it. You know? Like many times I said, when we were in the school, whenever the teacher comes late or she is absent and we have a substitution teacher, then, we used to, and in childhood, we used to play a game called Antakshiri. You just sing some song, Bollywood song, and whatever the song ends with that letter, the other party has to sing another song. And then afterwards they sing and whatever it ends with, then you have to sing and the game keeps going. So what we do is whatever letter we are given, we just sing. And nobody cries that, why did I get this letter? Actually, I wanted to sing with M. Actually, I wanted to sing with P, but I got L. You don't cry over it. You get M, you sing with M. You get L, you sing with L. Tomorrow you may get P, then you sing with P. That's how the life is. Today you are in this situation. You accept it. Tomorrow you will be in some different situation. You just accept it. Because every situation has been orchestrated by Krishna in your life. Right? See, even if you jump up and down, and even if you show harsha and dvesha and socha, it's not, nothing's going to make a difference in your life. Like it says in English, there's a saying, it says that what can't be cured should be endured. What can't be cured should be endure. You just have to endure it. You just have to tolerate it. Nothing can be done. Just like a pregnant woman, she can't say, it's so painful to deliver the baby. Can you do it on my behalf? Because it's so much pain. Can you just do it for me? Nobody can do it. So you have to endure. So certain things in our life are like that. You just have to tolerate. There's nothing you can do about it. You only have to do it. So whether you do it happily or grudgingly is up to you. But you need to tolerate that situation. So what can't be cured should be endured. Certain situations in our life, they won't change. So what's the point of doing harsha, dvesha, socha, kanksha, worry, all anxiety, nothing? Krishna is the driver of your life and we remain, sama. We remain stable. So then Krishna says, bhakti mane same priya, shubha shubha parityagi. A devotee has no grievance, no anxiety, and is stable in all situations because he has full faith in Krishna. I like this one bhajan, a very nice one. It's in Gujarati language. It says, I'll just sing one line for you. It says that,
चित तू सिधनी चिंता करे कृष्ण ने करवू होइ ते करे चित तू सिधनी चिंता करे कृष्ण ने करवू होइ ते करे.
A devotee is talking to the mind. Oh mind, chitta tu siddhani chinta kare. Why are you worried? Even if you worry, you don't worry.
Krishna ne karavu hoite kare.
Krishna is going to do what he wants to do. Your jumping up and down is not going to change his mind or his decision or what he has planned for you. So that is why, as a devotee, he's just telling to his mind, Krishna ne karavu hoite kare. Let Krishna do whatever he wants. Anyway, he's not going to listen to you and me. Why worry? Let him do whatever he wants to do. He has already planned our lives. He has already has a plan for us. So don't worry so much, right? So these are the qualities of the devotee if he wants to become favorite devotee of Lord Shri Krishna. So today we spoke about anapeksha, that means no expectation, suchi, that means clean, daksha, that means expert, udasino, means not involved, gata vyatha, means free from anxiety, sarvarambha parityagi, does not start anything, that means doesn't have a doership bhav, bhavana, yuna harshyati, there is no rejoicing, no grievance, no lamentation, no desire, and the devotee renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things. So these are the qualities that we discussed today. And the takeaway, of course there's so many takeaways, but one important thing would be what I see is that today's sloka was more or less on how to tolerate every situation, how to be peaceful in every situation, and how to take every situation as a blessing of the Lord. The other day I was giving a class to some temple, and we were discussing this canto 1, and there's one particular verse, and in that verse there is this one particular word which I like so much. Narad Muni's pastime, where Narad Muni's mother dies, and you know, after the Bhaktivedantis leave, and he's left on his own, just a 5-year-old child, and Narad Muni says one very sweet word. He says, anugraha. Is it because Krishna loves me? That is why this situation has happened in my life. And I thought that was so beautiful, the way Narad Muni drives this point home for all of us. You know, that burning optimism every devotee should carry, that burning optimism that everything that Krishna does is for my good. So Narad Muni put it, otherwise imagine a 5-year-old child and mother dies and there is nobody. So who in the world is going to say, this happened to me because Krishna loves me? But he has such faith on Krishna that whatever Krishna does in my life is for my good. So like this, the devotees of Krishna have such beautiful, beautiful qualities. So I pray to Lord Shri Shri Radha Damodar, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman, Shishi Gaurnitai, that all of us here today in this forum can at least get a trace of all these qualities that Krishna wants to see in his favorite devotee, and by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, if someday we can also fall inside that bracket. Thank you so much. I'll end it here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
I'm listening. I'm identifying after the time so much for you was the.
The next day, the enthusiasm is gone, and like I want to take rest. I want to like do some like peaceful like that. I can't put any lecture or any kirtan like that. Why it's happen? Like in Krishna conscious, we do like enthusiasm every moment, every second.
Okay, so what, thank you. So what I understand your question is that sometimes we are very enthusiastic in our Krishna conscious activities and sometimes we have no enthusiasm. So why are these spikes in our life? Sometimes so much enthusiasm and sometimes no enthusiasm. So basically we are all driven by three modes of material nature and whatever we are acting is by the influence of the modes of material nature. So sometimes we are under the influence of sattva mode, you know, goodness, we are in mode of goodness. Sometimes we are in mode of passion, rajas. Sometimes we are in mode of ignorance, tamas. So at different times of the day and different days of the week and different days of the month and year, we are influenced by different modes, depends upon the kind of situation and environment that we are in. Now you understand what question this what you have asked is so much relevant even to people who make New Year resolutions. They make so many nice resolutions, but they all go on up to 10th of January and after that the resolutions don't continue. So why does this happen? Because we may be motivated or inspired, but that motivation and inspiration to stay for a longer time, it has to be given strength by conviction. And that conviction can be facilitated by proper environment. So, for example, let's say somebody has decided that I'm not going to drink anymore. Very nice. He's not going to drink. He has made a resolution. But suppose if he's working in a bar where every day he has to serve alcohol to the other customers, it's very unlikely that he can continue his resolution of not drinking because the environment is such that he will start drinking again. So whatever we make a plan or a resolution, a proper environment also has to be created to facilitate that conviction or whatever that motivation or inspiration that we have received for it to continue for a longer time. So that is why we say that association of devotees is required, because when we take association of devotees, then they help us to come into the right mode. If we are alone, okay, sometimes there may be a spike and then sometimes again something else may be pulling us. The whole point is Maya is all the time ready, trying to pull strings with us. So we need outer help. Just like if there is a housefly which is inside a honey, the housefly cannot come out by itself. Somebody needs to put hand and take out the housefly from the bowl of honey. So similarly, even we as devotees, we really need help. Somebody needs to help us. That is why in this kind of situations, it's very nice if you can have peer groups, if you can have groups of Matajis who are reading the same chapter, maybe hearing the same class, where you share your important points, reflection. You have some WhatsApp group where you have to report, okay, this is the katha I heard, this is what I read today. And then they tell you. See, the thing is, our inspiration is not always linear. It is sometimes triangular also. Sometimes, linear means I hear this class, I'm very inspired. This is between me and the speaker of the class, I'm inspired, that's over. But sometimes, in fact, most of the time, our inspiration is triangular. That means I may not be directly inspired, but I'm inspired by somebody who's inspired by this person. That way my inspiration will continue. And in this material world, this triangular inspiration is all the more in vogue. That is why you see in the advertisements also, even if they want to sell us a Colgate or a Corn Flakes or a bath soap, they will always get a celebrity to show us, hey, I'm bathing with this soap and my skin is so soft. Now, I may not be inspired directly when I go to a departmental store to buy that soap, but I may be inspired by that celebrity who is looking so beautiful by using that soap. Now I want to buy that soap. So my inspiration is triangular. So that is our situation. So yeah, sometimes we do it, we are inspired, but sometimes we need help. That is why when we have association of devotees, or if we are associating with those who are inspired, then we also get inspired. So that is why we should have group of devotees where we share our sadhana and then push each other. We are all on a journey, something like trying to climb a hill. And what we really need is just each other's pushing and little help. So imagine, you know, you are on, you know, hiking, you know, together. It'll be so nice. And you see some devotee, he's all, you know, almost two steps above you, or somebody's below you and you just guide them. Hey, come on, it's easy. Just take another step. And then somebody's above and they're guiding you. Hey, that's all right. It's nice here. Just take a little more step and you'll come up. So this whole thing is so beautiful. And that way you'll be able to do it. But we try to do it all alone, never sure which mode is going to hijack us. Sometimes sattva, sometimes rajas, sometimes tamas, they're all the time pulling us. And sometimes don't know which mode is driving us, you know. See, like, even in your day-to-day life, you see, you get up in the morning, you are in sattvic mode, you know. You are all thinking, wow, I'm going to have a beautiful day today. I'm going to decorate my deities. I'm going to chant. By the time it's afternoon, you're already in rajasic mode, you know, running to the office or my presentations, my boss meeting, what's going to happen? By the time evening, you're already in the tamasic mode. So even in the day also, you see how the mode is almost all the time influencing us. So that's what is happening with us. So we really need help. So make some peer groups and that will help your inspiration to last longer and stronger. I just hope this answer helps you, Mataji.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Next is Gokul Priya, Mataji. If you have a question, after that, I think we already write the first question directly, so they can ask. Gokul Priya, Mataji, go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for a wonderful lecture. Mataji, my question was around, you know, I've heard that, you know, we say, or like, you know, that you don't have to be a perfect.
Okay. So in many of my classes, I've been also talking about this, where I'm saying that our goal of life is not to become a perfect mother or a perfect wife. We want to be reasonably good wife, because we can't be perfect. So what basically I was trying to point out is, you have to become a good wife or a reasonably good wife or a reasonably good daughter, a reasonably good daughter-in-law and mother, so that these horizontal relationships in our life don't cause disturbance and obstacles in our vertical relationship with Krishna. So if I'm not a good wife and I'm not a good mother, then I'm just causing disturbance in my family life, and they will become averse to Krishna consciousness, and they are upset when I'm chanting and when I'm going to the temple. The whole atmosphere will become such that even your basic chanting will be disturbed after some time, and it won't last long. So you have to be reasonably good. Now, why I said reasonably good and not perfect? Because nobody in this world can become perfect except Krishna. Only Krishna is Purna, and he can be perfect. So we cannot be perfect. Now, why I'm saying that is, sometimes many Matajis, in their race of becoming perfect, go into complete depression. I'm just trying my best, because I get so many mails like that. I'm trying my best to make my husband happy. I just make sure that, you know, cooking is, I just make sure this is correct. But he's not happy. He's always having this complaint. He's always having that complaint. So that is why I say, don't try to become perfect, because he's not God. Neither you are God. So there'll always be some mistakes. There'll be always something which you can't do properly. Maybe you can be a good mother. Maybe you can't. So the process will go on. You'll keep trying to do your best, but you cannot become best. That should be there in your mind. Your goal may be to get the moon, you know, but you may not get there. The whole point is, we keep high goals so that we keep going, but at the same time we understand it's not reachable. Because if you don't keep that in your mind, sometimes you may get disappointed. You know, I'm trying to please everybody, my mother-in-law, my children, but they're almost always having some or the other complaint. They will have complaint, because we are all on the material platform, and nobody is complete. So there'll be always a complaint. You know, our mind is made in such a way, even if you have everything in the world. You know, yesterday only I was telling in a class, I said, even if you go to heaven, you know, the mind will say, everything is very comfortable. Indra and Varuna and Chandra, they're very nice to me. But this is not correct. That is our mind. Not only your mind, my mind, everybody's mind is like that. So no matter what you do, your husband or children may say, you are nice, but that day you didn't do this for me. So now, if your goal is to become perfect, you will be frustrated. I tried, but that day I couldn't do it. And now see, he's always pointing out on that which I didn't do. So when you are mentally prepared, no, I'm trying to be good, but I can't be perfect. Then you will be happy. And if you are happy and peaceful, then you can do your Krishna conscious process properly. So that's the thing. We don't ignore completely, oh, I don't care. Who cares? I have a relation with Krishna and that's my only relation. We don't say that. Same time, we don't go to extremes, you know. See, Benjamin Franklin, when he was 20 years old, he made New Year resolution. Okay, these are the 12 qualities that I'm going to develop, 12 virtues. So then he showed it to his friend. Then his friend said, look, you don't have humility. So then he immediately added the 13th quality. Okay, I should be humble. Now, when he was 20 years old, he kept that goal that these are the virtues I'm going to develop in my life. But you know what happened? At the fag end of his life, when he was maybe like 87 years old, his friend came and asked him, so did you get all these 13 qualities? So he said, no, I didn't get all these 13 qualities, but this whole journey that I had in trying to acquire these 13 qualities has made me a beautiful human being. That's all we are trying to do. We may not become perfect, mother perfect, but this whole journey where we are thinking, no, I should be a good mother, I should be a good, and that will make you a beautiful person. We'll not be able to become the expert, 100 out of 100. No, that is not possible. But at least we can keep that as a goal. So why do we keep mentioning this in classes is that we don't start ignoring our families, and we understand that a proper balance is required of both to keep us going in Krishna consciousness, because after all, we are social animals and we won't be able to go to some cave and start doing our bhajan. We need to stay in a community. And if the community is happy, family is happy, we will be happy. And if we are happy, then we can continue our bhajan nicely. I hope this helps you, Mataji. Yes. Okay, so you're saying that even though after some time we understand, we sit and analyze, I shouldn't have reacted that way, but in the spur of the moment, we may end up saying something which we regret later. So yeah, that's why the whole practice, abhyasa yogena, we have to keep on doing abhyasa, abhyasa, abhyasa. So I keep telling these people all the time that, you know, somebody goes to a departmental store, and you are in the billing counter taking, you know, making bills and all, and then by mistake somebody just comes and pushes you, or you know, or you push somebody. Your immediate reaction will be, I'm sorry, I'm really sorry, did it hurt you? But the same thing happens in your house, inside your house with your wife. You're just walking and you just, you know, pushed her or something. Would you say that? You don't. You take it for granted. But when it is with outside people, you are at your courteous best. Now, you have to keep practicing at house too, whatever you are doing. So if you keep practicing, then even during provocating situations, you won't cross the line. So you'll have to practice it. It's not that, you know, at that moment, suddenly it'll out of the blue, you will be self-controlled, and even at the, you know, the situation is all wrong and you'll still have a smile. So you'll have to practice it over a period of time. Just like I was mentioning in the class today, that the Navy and the Army and all, they keep walking with their rifles and, you know, left, right, left. There is no war happening, but they're still practicing. So like that, if we keep practicing and we keep practicing, then even during the provocating situations, will be our best. That means that it has to come from inside, internally. We won't be able to act it out. We'll have to do it internally. I give you one example, my personal life. I'm very young to my husband, and we speak in Hindi at home. And he has this habit from the day when we got married, he calls me aap. Now in Hindi, aap basically means as you respect somebody, you know. In English, we don't have such words, aap, tum, tu. You know, English, everybody is you, me, you know. But in Hindi, there are so many such words. So those who are younger to you, you say tum. Those who are more younger, you say tu. And those who are elder to you, you say aap. But he has this typical habit, even if it's a four-year-old girl or five-year-old boy, to just about anybody he speaks, he has this in his bhasha, in his language. He says, aap, aap. And so now what happens at any point of time, whatever any situation comes, because this is his language, this is how he talks. So that cools down so much the situation. I'm just trying to give you one example that, you know, if your bhasha, you know, your general way of talking is like that, sweet and nice, and you are habituated. So in every situation, you'll be able to do it. Like I always say, you know, the Matajis, the ladies, they do cooking. In cooking, you know, you use salt, turmeric, chili powder. There are some things which you very frequently use. And there are some masalas you don't use frequently. You use them once in a while. If you use them once in a while, now you will forget that those masalas are there in your kitchen. You'll end up going to the market and buying them again and again. But these masalas, which are very much in use, you know, day to day, there's just so much in front cabinet. So like that, if we have proper bhasha, proper language, proper body language, proper way of talking, addressing people, and these are the masalas you're using in your day-to-day life, then even during provocating situations, you won't give it up. You won't give it up, right? You will be, you know, and you're, yeah, even if there is, you know, you'll be able to manage it. So it's basically, I'm trying to say only one thing is practice. You keep practicing it and you keep practicing it. Okay, otherwise, if you want me to give you one practical tip, every time that situation comes, you know, you think in your mind that your Guru Maharaj or Prabhupada or Krishna is standing right there in between you and the whole situation. So how would you talk when he's around, right? See, sometimes when we are organizing festivals, oh, they may be so halla gulla. Hey, you didn't put these balloons here. Hey, what happened to this? What happened? And imagine Guru Maharaj, you know, whoever is your Guru Maharaj, he just walks in. Now, even now you will say, hey, where are the balloons? But now your tone will be, where are the balloons? Did you keep them properly? So why is there a change of tune, you know? Just now you were like, where is the balloon? Where? But now because he's around, you will be, So that's it. So be conscious like that all the time. Oh, Krishna is watching me, or my Guru Maharaj is watching me. And in that consciousness, you speak, you interact, and you respond to every situation. I hope this helps you. Okay, thank you so much, all the devotees. Thank you very much. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpatarubhayascha kripa sindhubhayascha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavanda ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you so much.
Sab Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage. Sab Krishna.